The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Did Jesus teach the rich young ruler, contrary to John 3:16, that works can get you eternal salvation? Or was Jesus aiming at something else? This is Grace in Focus. So glad that you have joined us today, friend. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can know more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There you will find our church tracker, have an opportunity to donate to this ministry, and you might find a regional conference in your area. Find out more at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Now, Mike, I think you've got a question from something you've been seeing online a lot.
Yeah, sometimes some of our critics post comments on YouTube, and to one of our videos, they were posting that, you know, we should be finding the gospel message, the saving message, in the story of the rich young ruler. And I'm going to go ahead and read that passage to you from Luke 18.
All right.
Luke 18, verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this...
Well, let's stop there, and then we'll go to the second half.
Sure.
So in the first half, he's talking to the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler asked what he must do to inherit eternal life.
Right.
Now, it's interesting because in Matthew, it says have eternal life. Here, it says inherit.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking is that he either used both words or he used one and the other gospel writer put the other. Like, for example, if he meant by inherit to have, mm-hmm. then Matthew could have put have and he would have been accurately representing his meaning in a paraphrase. But either way, the point is, I think the man is not asking for eternal rewards. He's not saying, "I know where I'm going."
Yeah.
He's asking what he needs to do to get into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, he calls him good teacher. Jesus then picks up on the good. "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God." He wants him to understand that the person you're talking to is God. But secondly, he then talks to him about the commandments. And if you notice these commandments, Mike, you read all the second half of the Ten Commandments except for one.
Yeah.
Covetousness, which is the tenth commandment, is not listed. And then when Jesus says, "Sell all you have and give to the poor," well, that would reveal that he wasn't covetous.
Mm-hmm.
If he was like, "No, everything I have, I'm willing to give away. I'm willing to give up if the Lord wants that for me." Now, what other people who've noticed this have talked about is, first of all, you've got to harmonize Scripture with Scripture. So, unfortunately, some of the people you're reading their comments to our YouTube videos, they start with a passage like this and then go understand John 3:16 in light of this.
Yeah, and I think we saw this in the Lordship Salvation books. They would say, "This is the gospel right here. Sell all you have and come follow me," right?
Right, and so then they interpret whoever believes in him in John 3:16 to mean whoever commits, surrenders, follows, obeys. They bring in all these things. In order to understand this passage or James 2 or Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10 or you name the passage.
Yeah.
And they're doing the exact opposite of what they should do. They should go to clear passages like John 3:16, understand what the saving message is, and then interpret this in light of that. Now, we know from the Gospel of John that there's three key elements: Jesus, believing, and life.
Yeah.
We need to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. There's nothing in John's gospel about committing your life to him in order to have eternal life, obeying him so you might have eternal life, following him so you might have eternal life, keeping the commandments so that you might have eternal life. In fact, when Jesus is asked in John 6:28, "What works must we do that we may work the works of God?" They're clearly asking the same kind of question the rich young ruler. He says, "This is the work singular."
Yeah.
"That you believe in him whom he sent." In other words, believe in me, believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we establish from the Gospel of John and from Ephesians 2:8 and 9, or Acts 16:31, or Titus 3:5, or Revelation 22:17, that justification or regeneration is by faith apart from works.
Right.
So what's going on here? Well, I think what's going on here, and a number of commentators have pointed this out, this man would never sell all that he had and give to the poor unless he was convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and that he guarantees his eternal destiny. Not that he's guaranteeing he's buying his way into the kingdom, but he's almost certainly heard that Jesus has said, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Yeah.
And he's still thinking in terms of the commandments. You remember the Jewish people were always asking, what are the greatest commandments? Why? Because they wanted to make sure they were doing well enough to get into the kingdom. So part one, Jesus answers and says, if you do all this, come and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. He doesn't say come and you will get into the kingdom. He says something more. You will have treasure. What's interesting, part two picks up on this idea of treasure. So read the second half.
Sure. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life.
Okay, so notice this passage began with everlasting life and it ends with everlasting life. And it's a future in both places.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Okay, so notice this passage began with everlasting life and it ends with everlasting life. And it's a future in both places. Here, what the Lord is saying is Peter and the other disciples who've left all and who followed him, they're going to be rewarded with great rewards in this life and they're going to inherit eternal life. They're going to have a fullness of life in the life to come. It says, in the life to come, who shall receive many times more in the present time and in the age to come, they're going to receive eternal life. Well, every believer already has everlasting life, John 3:16. But there's about 5 or 6 passages in the New Testament, this is one of them, that indicate a possible future reward, like Galatians 6:7-8, if we sow to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life? That's a fullness of life. Mm-hmm. One commentator has said it's a full-orbed experience of eternal life.
So you're saying eternal life isn't some sort of static thing that once we have it, that's all it is and can't be. But when it's talked about in the future, you're saying it can be kind of expanded or enhanced?
Right. Even now, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, John 10:10b. Some believers in this life, we know, have a more abundant experience than others.
Right.
Someone who's been walking with Christ for 40 or 50 or 60 years has a more abundant experience than someone that's been walking with Christ for 40 or 50 or 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening here in the second half, and he talks about how hard it is for the rich. I believe it's in the Mark and parallel. Jesus, how hard it is for those who trust in riches. You see, the rich tend to trust in their riches as a proof that they have eternal life and that they're going to make it. It's harder for us to get this than it would be for a first century Jew, because the Jews in the first century, they believed that riches were proof God was greatly blessing you and he wasn't going to greatly bless unbelievers. And so as a result, riches proves I'm in good standing with God, kind of like a Catholic would say, yeah. I'm in a state of grace.
I noticed when, I guess earlier you were talking about how to have everlasting life right now, you kept going to John, and I noticed looks like the rich young ruler passage is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but you don't have that passage in John. Why do you think
no.
that's so?
Well, I think it's so because this isn't an evangelistic passage. I believe this is pre-evangelism. So what the Lord is doing is provoking the rich young ruler to see that he can't have salvation through the commandments. When he says, all these I've kept from my youth up, that's where the lie detector should be going, boop, 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 boop. This is wrong, wrong, yeah. wrong. This guy's a liar.
Yeah.
Of course, from a Jewish standpoint, Paul said before he was saved, he was blameless according to the law.
Yeah.
So a Jew could view themselves as blameless because they're so scrupulous in keeping the law. But that's not the same as saying the person is sinless or that the person is somehow has everlasting life. Paul knew he wasn't born again until he believed in Jesus for everlasting life, 1 Timothy 1:15.
So John's the evangelistic book. What's the purpose of Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Who are they written for?
Yeah, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written to believers, and they're teaching about following Christ. And and the lesson here is that if we follow Christ, we're going to have treasure in heaven. We're going to have eternal rewards, and he's going to reward us in this life and the life to come. Although the rewards in this life may not be money.
Mm-hmm.
They may be things like joy and peace and patience and kindness and the fruit of the Spirit, contentment and the joy that we should have. So the rich young ruler passage needs to be understood in light of all the clear passages of Scripture.
Yeah, so it's written for an audience who already knew that you get everlasting life, not by giving up
right.
and following him, but by believing in Jesus for it.
That's what grieves me. When people go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke to determine their view of how a person is saved, they end up with discipleship salvation because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are about discipleship.
Yeah.
And so they get so confused, and then they go to John and they misread John in light of their faulty understanding of Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Yeah.
It's vitally important that we all are open and honest and seeking. John's gospel is crystal clear. Whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life. And even this passage is clear. Nobody's saved by keeping the commandments.
This is how we get eternal rewards once you already have everlasting
right,
life.
Exactly. So the rich young ruler hopefully later came to faith.
Yes.
We're not told. Maybe he did. But I think what Jesus was doing here was shaking him up a little bit.
Yeah, left him something to think about.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And y'all keep grace
in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, join us for another question and answer discussion. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.